Well, this passage, I've been looking at this passage for more than a week, or 2 weeks almost. And the scriptures that come before this passage, Mark 3 through 5, chapters 3 through 5, Jesus was teaching the kingdom, and he was doing kingdom miracles. And what happened? The Pharisees opposed his Sabbath healings. Scribes doubted his exorcisms. His family questioned his sanity. A Gentile city drove him off for saving a demoniac. And his own hometown ridiculed his ministry. And in Mark 6, in the next chapter, which is from our chapter, right before the verse before our passage, Mark 6:6, the first part says about Jesus, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. But that did not stop him. No. Because the next part of that verse says, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Jesus was unstoppable. He was unstoppable even by the cross. The Lord raised him up from that, from death. So in verse 7, which is the first part of our verse, passage, he began an unstoppable pattern of sending out his followers to do the same thing. To do the same thing that he was doing. And that's an unstoppable pattern. And this pattern will continue until he returns. Jesus gives his authority. He gave his authority to his disciples to expand the kingdom. And he still gives his authority to his people for expanding his kingdom. Our text exemplifies that pattern. And this verse 7, the very first verse in this, and you can look at this as it's inside your worship folder, is verse 7. It's a very good outline for the whole message. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out. Kingdom expansion is an in and out mission. In and out has become familiar with that hamburger place, you know, you go in, you go out. Well, calling the 12 disciples to him, he sent them out. The key to expanding the kingdom is spending time with the King. You know, Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Well, Jesus, in that verse, Jesus is speaking something, but we use that verse as a visualization, as a visual for people inviting Christ into their heart and getting saved. We use that a lot. But that's not who it's to. It's to us. It's to the church. And really what Jesus is saying, let's spend intimate time together. Just you and me, spending intimate time together. I tell you, that's what devotional time is to me. It's spending intimate time together. But you know what? If I do it well in that devotional quiet time, then it goes that with me throughout the day. And I'm still with Jesus. And I'm often praying to him about little things that come up. So it's important. We produce kingdom activity only through closeness to the King, our proximity to the King. And so we need to stay close to Jesus. There was a lady who wrote a book, Journey Inward, Journey Outward. Elizabeth O'Connor was her name. She tells about a church that found the crucial balance between the inward journey of engaging with God and with one another, and then the outward of journey of ministering to a needy world. So Jesus can't send us to help others in a broken world if we don't obey his call, come unto me. We have to first obey his call, come unto me. open the door. Let me come in and dine with you and let's talk. Let's spend an intimate time together. Then we get the strength. We get the authority. We get the empowerment to go out and help people, to be agents of healing. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to bring a healing word to people. This world is broken, and we need to bring healing. We need to be vessels of healing words to people. We gather them from the scriptures, but we give them by speaking them to people. To be those agents of healing, we must first see ourselves as wounded healers. Wounded healers, all of us, needing intimate times with Christ for our own spiritual growth and healing. That has to happen first. So we're all on a mission, everybody. I always tell people, your mission's not done yet. It's not. Mine's not done yet. We're all on a mission to be representatives of the Christ who we invited into our hearts when we got saved. He calls us to Himself inwardly so we can do His kingdom work outwardly. In and out mission. And it's not with our own understanding that we do this mission, or with our own ability. We do it with His will and His power. Jesus gives us His strength and authority to expand His kingdom. But it's not His will for us to do this alone, to work alone. Kingdom expansion is a shared mission. In verse 7 it says this, and He sent them out two by two. Now, you know, why are there six? There's only 16 teams going to these different villages. 6 teams instead of 12. They could have had 12 single preachers, and they would cover more ground. And maybe cover more ground fast. But at this point, Jesus, He had two precedents for sending them out two by two in this mission pattern that He was establishing. Deuteronomy 19:15 says this, a matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And the Jews in those places were looking for that. They didn't want to hear just one testimony. They wanted to hear more than one voice. And also this, Ecclesiastes 4:10, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. We need to help each other in our spiritually, physically sometimes, emotionally. We need to be there for one another in this work of expanding His kingdom. Jesus Himself didn't do anything that He did alone. He didn't do it alone. His was a Trinitarian mission with the Father and the Holy Spirit working alongside Him all the way through His mission. And we can see exceptions to this in different, maybe an evangelist going out and that kind of thing. But really, that's not God's perfect will. His perfect will is kingdom teamwork. Kingdom teamwork, where we reflect and we represent God's own Trinitarian nature, His triune being as God. That's who we are representing. We're representing God. Jesus gives us His authority for expanding His kingdom. But He puts together, He puts us together to help each other stay on track, to keep on the journey, keep on the mission. And this is spelled out in Hebrews 10:25. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? What day? The day of His return, when there is no more opportunity for repentance. It's over. It's done on that day. So what's the encouragement? Stay faithful. You've got the authority. You've got the power. Stay faithful to be a voice, to share those healing words with the broken world. He gives the church. Because of this, I mean, if you knew that tomorrow that He would come again, we would have 24 hours. It would be just a pressing mission. We'd need to get this mission accomplished. Well, that's why we have this exhortation, because it is a pressing mission. It's something that needs to be done. Kingdom expansion is an urgent mission. In verses 8 through 9, it says this, and you can read it too. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Now, these are Christ's directives of frugality. And they might mean, just trust God to supply all your needs on this journey. But you know, later on, Jesus changed that. And that's not how we go out today, really. But I have to tell you, there's a more likely interpretation of that. Why did Jesus do that? He was sending them out like soldiers. And they were to be, he was like travel light and unencumbered with a bunch of things. No, just travel light and get the job done quickly. The urgency is also seen in verse 10 where he says, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. They could have gone to every house in that town and been invited in because hospitality was part of the culture. You had a stranger comes, you'd be hospitable. And they could have taken advantage of that. No, you don't have enough time. Don't let hospitality distract you from the mission. Get it done. And this is just like Mark 2. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. Let's get it done, you know. And then in verse 11, he draws this line that we talked about the last time I talked. He draws this line dividing an open response to the gospel from opposition to it. There's one side that's saying yes to the light. And there's another side that says, no, we're just going to stay in darkness. And Christ is dividing the line there. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Rejecting kingdom light leaves people lost in darkness. And that means they have missed the whole point. What was the point? Kingdom expansion is for liberating people spiritually. It's for liberating them. Verse 7 says, and he gave them authority over evil spirits. Now, in parallel passages of this same thing when Jesus was sending them out, in parallel gospel passages, they include preaching the kingdom and healing the sick. But Mark lists them as those things as results of the mission. He, after the mission is done in there and they come back and they tell, he says, so in verse 12 and 13, they went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out demons and anointed many sick people with oil and he healed them. Mark's usual brevity, that's what he is, the shortest of the Gospels. His usual brevity reduced kingdom authority to one thing, its bottom line, exorcism. Was that right for him to do that? Yes, it was. In 1 John 3:8, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. For spiritual release, spiritual liberation, or spiritual liberation and healing, people had to do three things. The first thing they had to do was to repent of the sins that the devil had led them into. To repent of the sins that the devil had led them into. And number two, to renounce Satan and all his works. It's very interesting. In the early church baptismal ceremony, there was a place before they ever, well, when they got into the water, before they ever were baptized, they had to verbally renounce Satan and all his works. I renounce Satan and all his works, because they were surrendering to the king and his kingdom. So renounce Satan and all his works. And number three, enter the kingdom of light by surrendering to the king. Jesus gives us His authority for expanding His kingdom. And that means change lives. That's what expanding His mission, expanding His kingdom means. It means changed lives. Now, we can't make people repent. We can only pray for and proclaim what they did, that people should repent. That's what it says. Preaching so that people would repent. But everyone must choose. They must choose between the kingdom of light and Satan's realm of darkness, which has as many shades of gray as there are human personalities to be duped by those shades. When people say, well, there's a gray area, it's Satan's area. Jesus has a kingdom of light. There's no shadows in it. There's no shadows in it. No gray in God, no gray in the kingdom. It's all light. You start getting into gray areas, they get darker and darker, and pretty soon you're right in the darkness. Gray areas are from the mixture of trying to mix light and darkness together. There's so much of that happens. We got to pray against that. But human personalities can be duped that way. Our task is to tell people what Jesus the King has said. And this is what He said that really draws the line. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. John 14:6. Jesus said that, and it drew the line. We tell them that, but then we bid them. We bid them to come over the line, cross over from darkness to light, surrender to Jesus as Lord, and join us in this journey. What is our journey? It's a journey of kingdom living, and part of that kingdom living is ministering with kingdom authority. Let's pray. Lord, we have not always taken advantage of Your kingdom authority, but You have given it to us, and You live in our hearts. You are the King who lives in our hearts. So I ask, Lord God, that You would bless us to be those kinds of disciples that reach out to a world that's broken. There's people around us that are broken, and when they're going through really hard times, we need to have words to say. We ask You that You would help us to say Your word with Your authority, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.